Well, Father God, I truly do thank you for being here this morning. I thank you, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your angelic host. I thank you for ministering to your people. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that for each and every person that came out this morning, they came for a reason, Father God. And I'm asking you to meet them at their point of need. And Father, I truly do thank you for your Son, Jesus, that makes all of this possible. I thank you for the Godhead. I thank you, Father God, for the power and the authority that we have over all darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of things. You know, the whole body of Christ has been dealing with a lot of things. And I know I brought this out a little bit here and a little bit there, but God just was really dealing with me. You know, when I first started ministry, the other churches told people not to come here because I had a demon and I was the devil. And remember I told you God told me to go into the Word and read everything in red. And that was all about Jesus, and whatever happened to him was going to happen to if you were called of God, all right? Well, this is one aspect that I overlooked. You know, that what did they say about Jesus when he started his ministry? He had a demon, all right? Now I'm going to read this scripture here. I've entitled The Suffering Servant, Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. This is Jesus speaking. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You know, if you're truly called of God, you're always persecuted. And how many of you can say that you might have went to church maybe all your life or half your life or something, and then you became born again? But when you were just going to church, everything was just great. But then when you stepped into the born again arena, then you became a threat to the enemy. And then he started after you. And he is relentless. And each one of you sitting here, you can testify that he is after you. He's been after you, and he's not going to quit until Jesus comes back again. And he throws everything at you that he possibly can to try to discourage you. All right, now in the Gospels, Jesus was accused of having demons on several occasions. In John 8, 48 through 49, some of the Jews said to Jesus, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" You know, the Jews asked Jesus that. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." In other words, he said, "I'm working for my Father, and because I'm working for my Father, and you're coming against me," right? And then in John 10, 19 through 21, there was a division among the Jews because of Jesus' words. Some of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Now, the demon thing never bothered me, really. But all of a sudden, about 3 years ago, I think it was, somebody said I was an occult leader. That blew my mind. That really, really did. It was devastating, because that's one thing I would never, ever want to do. All right. And so I wrestled with that thing and wrestled with that thing until finally God showed me the truth and where the source was coming from. So you need to hear what God's saying to you today, because from this point on, we're in a new era, and you have to understand why you're being come against. It's not because you sinned. It's because you have finally decided, "I'm going to follow Jesus with all of my heart." All right. In Matthew 12, 24, Mark 3, 22, and 30, and Luke 11, 15, again, the Pharisees, along with the scribes and the crowd, accused Jesus of working with Beelzebub to drive out demons. Beelzebub was the lord of the flies. It was an idol that they worshipped. And in John 7:20, the crowd accused Jesus of being demon-possessed. And in John 8:48 and 50, the Jews also accused Jesus of having a demon. Now let's read Matthew 12:22. Now, God's having me teach this to you because you're going to have to understand what you're going through. Because we are at the end times, we are paving way for the second coming of Jesus, and the enemy knows he has to get it done now, or because he knows he's losing. And he's trying to take out every anointed child of God that he can take out. All right? And you wonder why you've gone through the things you've gone through in life. Just like that one song said, there was always a purpose. God never allows you to go through anything unnecessarily. Everything you go through in life, everything you experience, there is a purpose behind it. All right? And it's always to enlighten the body of Christ. All right, Matthew 12:22. Then they brought him, Jesus, a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow Jesus drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand." If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. I want to stop here. Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. You know, you're either for God or you're working for the devil. There's no in between. You cannot be divided. You can't be divided in how you think or how you walk with God. You have to know with uncertainty in your heart that you're walking with God with every part of your being. Yes, the enemy does come in. Yes, the enemy does torment. And yes, the enemy does do all kind of things to you. But that does not mean that you are not still God's child. It's when we give in to the evil works. That's when it all starts being divided. We cannot ever give in to sin ever again. And Jesus said, all right, this is Jesus speaking, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. And what God is saying there is, if you're doing deliverance, you're going to have to get the strong man. You're going to have to get the kingpin in order to set that person free. And verse 30 says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. You see that? You cannot talk about the Holy Spirit. Talk about Jesus, talk about God, but don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And then 32 says, "Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." Those people who claim there is no Holy Spirit are in big trouble with God. Are you listening? If you're going to do deliverance, you can't have sin in you because your house is divided. And we know, and you know, when I was doing deliverance full time, I noticed one thing. Demons have rank inside of people. And let's just see, Nancy and I were doing a deliverance, but Nancy was in sin, and she's trying to get out this demon, but it won't come out because the sin nature she has is stronger than a demon that she's trying to get out. You people need to understand that the reason why you don't get people set free right away is because you yourself have a sin nature, and the devil doesn't have to listen to you. I don't care what it is. It could be smoking. It could be drinking. It could be cussing. That's a sin nature, and that you don't have the power. You don't have full power and authority to set people free. God has called us to be holy and righteous. He's calling us to walk out of the sin nature and walk in holiness. And we're out there trying to get rid of a devil that doesn't have to move at your voice. I was dealing with somebody at the altar one service, and I said, "Devil, you know my voice, and you have to listen to my voice." And they said, "We know." And I said, "Now stop acting up." And he immediately stopped acting up. See, if I had a sin nature, they wouldn't have had to stop acting up. Are you understanding this? Too many people are out there professing to be deliverance ministers that aren't walking in the fullness that God has for you. I want you all to understand this. You cannot be sinning and, like Jesus said, can Beelzebub cast out Beelzebub? No, you can't. No, you can't. What happened to Jesus? I might be getting ahead of myself. What happened when Jesus walked into a room? The demon says, "What do you have to do with us?" And isn't that what they said? They knew that they had to leave because Jesus walked into the room. How many of you, you know, when you walk in the room, does the devil get excited? He just sits there and just does his thing. I want you to really think about this, because what God is bringing into the house of God is demon-possessed people. These people on the streets, that's who God said he's bringing in. You know what they're like. You know how the devil has them bound up. How are you walking? Are you going to have the authority to set them free? I really want you to think about this. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Through the work of the apostles, many God signs were set up among the people. Many wonderful things done. They all met regularly and in remarkable harmony on the temple porch named after Solomon. See, listen to that scripture. They met together regularly, but in remarkable harmony. They were in one mind and one accord. And when you're in one mind and one accord, you have all power and authority over the devil. But when you're fighting against a brother or sister who's supposed to be working with you, you've lost your power and you've lost your authority. All right, verse 13, but even though people admired them a lot, outsiders were wary about joining them. All right, so in other words, you know, the young lady there with the purple shirt on, you know, you're just standing there watching what's going on around about you, but you say, okay, there's a lot of good things going on, but I just don't know if I want to join that group or not. See, not everybody is going to believe that what's going on is God. And you that's a good thing, because a lot of times things are going on are not of God. And you see it in the churches all the time. Don't you be one of those. All right, verse 14, on the other hand, those who put their trust in the master were added right and left. So you're going to have some that's not going to join you, but then the Bible goes on to tell us, but on the other hand, you can gather a multitude. So don't let those few that don't want Jesus discourage you. Keep on going. There's voices, there's people out there that want to hear your voice and who will receive Christ. All right, they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on stretchers and bedrolls, hoping they would be touched by Peter's shadow when he walked by. Now, when you walk by somebody, do you heal them? I mean, you don't heal them. Does the Spirit of God that's in you heal them? I want you to think about this. All right, they came from the villages surrounding Jerusalem, throngs of them bringing the sick and bedeviled, and they all were healed. With what God is telling us he's going to send into the churches, if we will do what God's telling us to do, we're going to walk in the power and authority that the disciples had back then. And when people walk through the doors, they're going to be healed. All right. All right. Verse 17 says, provoked mightily by all this, the chief priests and those on his side, mainly the sect of Sadducees, went into action, arrested the apostles. and put them in the town jail. They didn't do anything. Now, listen, now God said, I want you to teach us. They didn't do anything wrong, but they were thrown into jail. Some of us might be thrown into jail for our only sin is following Jesus, preaching his word. All right. 19, but during the night, an angel of God opened the jailhouse door and led them out. He said, go to the temple and take your stand. Tell the people everything there is to say about this life. Promptly obedient, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. Remember, they were told, don't you teach ever about Jesus again. And they were in jail. An angel came and said, now you go and you do what God's told you to do. And his cronies convened in the high council, Israel's Senate, and sent to the jail to have the prisoners brought in. When the police got there, they couldn't find them anywhere in the jail. They went back and reported. We found the jail locked tight as a drum and the guards posted at the doors. But when we went inside, we didn't find a soul. The chief of the temple police and the high priest were puzzled. What's going on here anyway? Just then, someone showed up and said, did you know that the men you put in jail are back in the temple teaching the people? The chief and his police went and got them, but they handled them gently, fearful that the people would riot and turn on them. Bringing them back, they stood them before the high council, the chief priests, and said, didn't we give you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name? And here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are trying your best to blame us for the death of this man. Peter and the apostles answered, it is necessary to obey God rather than men. I've been told over and over and over again, everybody loves you, but you just wouldn't teach so hard, you'd have the biggest church around. I can't please men. I have to teach what God tells me to teach. Nothing more, nothing less. And then let it go. All right? You do too. God told me one time, daughter, your only job is to give them the word, not to get them saved. Give them the word. He said, you're trying to get them saved, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. And you know, when I realized that, boy, it was an easy road then, because I was working myself to pieces trying to get these people saved, convince them that what the word said was true. That's not my job. It's not your job either. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Remember that. And you know, the Bible says not everybody's going to get saved. Remember that. That's sad, but that's what it tells us. Verse 30 said, the God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on the cross. God set him on high at his side, Prince and Savior, to give Israel the gift of a changed life and sins forgiven. And we are witnesses to these things. The Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him, corroborates every detail. When they heard that, they were furious and wanted to kill the disciples on the spot. But one of the council members stood up, a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel, a teacher of God's law who was honored by everyone. He ordered the men taken out of the room for a short time. Then he said, fellow Israelites, be careful what you do to these men. See that? I always tell my family, boy, you just don't know what you're doing. I'm the apple of God's eye. And you're messing with God's child. And you're going to have to pay for what you're doing to me. Each one of you in here should feel the same way. If you're truly following God with all your heart, God has called you to do something, then you are the apple of his eye. And people better leave you alone. Because God is not happy when you mess with one of his children. So he said, fellow Israelites, be careful what you do to these men. Not long ago, Thaddeus made something of a splash, claiming to be somebody, and got about 400 men to join him. So he was starting a church, okay? He was killed, his followers dispersed, and nothing came of it. People used to always come to me, what do you think about the church down the corner? I said, that's not my business. God told me, you keep your nose right here in this church. This is the one you're the pastor of. You don't be concerned about what somebody else is doing. And maybe some of you need to keep. All right. So I was praying about somebody the other day, and God said, daughter, you're always sticking your nose where it doesn't belong. He said, why don't you just stop that? And I forgot what else he said, but I had to laugh too. But, you know, we don't need to be sticking our nose in somebody else's business. We need to be concerned about what we're doing, how we're walking, and what God has called us to do. I'm not worried. I'm not concerned about what Barbara's doing. That's her walk, not mine. And if she makes a mistake, she's going to have to take, you know, her and God's going to have to take that thing up. I can't do that. She made her decisions. I make my decisions. You make your decisions. But I'm hoping and praying that every one of our decisions is because that's what God called us to do. All right, verse 37. So anyhow, all these people, this pastor, he didn't make it. Now, verse 37 says, a little later at the time of the census, Judas the Galilean appeared and acquired a following. See, he was going to preach too. He also fizzled out, and the people following him were scattered to the four winds. See that? If God doesn't call you, you're not going to make it. Then 38, so I am telling you, hands off these men, let them alone. If this program or this work is merely human, it will fall apart. This should make the lighthouse shout. Amen. But if it is of God, there is nothing you can do about it, and you better not be found fighting against God. Are you listening? This is for you guys. You're ministers of the gospel. You're going to be used by God, and God wants you to know this right up front, what's going to happen to you. That convinced them. They called the apostles back in after giving them a thorough whipping. You know, they had to do the little whipping thing. They warned them not to speak in Jesus' name and sent them off after all the warning they received. Now look what the apostles did. The apostles went out of the high council overjoyed because they had been given the honor of being dishonored on account of the name. They were so happy they got whipped because of the name. You know, come on, church. The church doesn't feel like that. You throw a fit. Verse 42, every day they were in the temple and homes teaching and preaching Jesus, Christ Jesus, not letting up for a minute. You know, they were already put in jail. Then they were whipped and they were said, all right, we're letting you go. Don't you do it. Don't you do it no more. And they're right back out there doing it again because God called them. All right, now Jesus sends out the 12. I want you to listen to this because Jesus is getting ready to send you guys out. Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Then God wasn't dealing with the Gentiles. He was just dealing with the Jews, all right? And verse 6 says, go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. Now, this is what you should be proclaiming. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. I want to stop there. We were talking about, you know, Philadelphia on the streets, you know, where the drug people, the homeless people are, and how they're losing their limbs. And I really believe that's leprosy. You know, because in the Bible, when they had the leprosy, the arms and the legs were falling off, and their noses and this and that and the other, they had a leprosy colony, and that's where they were. And I really believe that God wants us to minister to these lepers and set them free. And whenever he healed the leprosy in the Bible, they were totally made whole. They didn't walk around with an arm or leg missing. That's what we're going to be doing. Are you ready to do something like this? Think about it. All right, then Jesus goes on to say, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff for the workers worth his keep. In other words, go with nothing and the people should be keeping you. All right? Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Let's just stop there. He said in verse 14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave them and shake the dust off your feet. Everybody you minister to is not going to believe you. You don't have to start an argument with them. You can just say, you know, I love you, Jesus loves you, and just walk on. He didn't say, sock them in the nose and make them feel unworthy. He just said, shake the dust off and walk on. And he didn't tell you to act like you're all that and then some to prove that God is real. You can't prove God is real. You're supposed to live like Jesus. And as people watch you live, then they'll know that Jesus is real. All right? Did you get that now? That's what you're supposed to do. Because Jesus is getting ready to open up the windows and the doors of heaven. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bring in the lost mm-hmm. into the house of God. And we need to be ready to minister to these people. Your calling might be to be an evangelist and go out and evangelize. Wherever you go, God's still going to have the door open. He's still going to anoint you. And whatever he wants done is going to be done. I used to be an evangelist. Well, I still am, but I used to go out in the field and God called me in off the field. And I said, why did you call me in? He said, because they were getting ready to crucify you and you're not strong enough to endure what they were going to throw at you. See how good God is. He said, I'm calling you in, and he said, I'm going to strengthen you. Then I'll put you back out there again. See, this is the way God works. All right. Jesus warns about trouble. So let's go to Matthew 10:16. Now listen to this, what he's doing to you guys again, all right? I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. And you know, as I was reading that, I know a lot of us in here have gotten the word you're going to stand before kings and governors, and I'm thinking, I always thought it was in a good way, but this could be in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? Because I know a lot of you that God has prophesied to you that, and he's prophesied that to me. So be ready. I'm just saying, you be ready. Verse 19. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. See, how many of you sit and think about what I'm going to say? You know, what you're going to say. You don't need to do that. You just need to say, God, I really don't know what to say because I don't know what they're going to say. So I'm just going to go and I want the Holy Spirit to speak through me. And I'm just going to keep myself out of it. And then, yield your vessel for the Holy Spirit to speak through. Too many of us speak words we need to just not speak. Verse 20, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. Do you hear that? But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And he said, the student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. So he didn't say, so he said, you will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you're persecuted in one place, flee to another. He didn't say, I'm going to be there and keep you safe. And I always think about Paul. Paul had to run away from the people, and they put him in a bucket or a basket and lowered him down over the wall. You know, God didn't part the people and let him walk through. He had to flee. So we better get some of this dumb stuff we think out of our brain and start believing what the Word of God said. God will always, you know, God's always told me the devil can do everything but kill you. And he said, believe me, he's going to turn you inside out and upside down until he's finished with you. And that's the way it's been. But see, my word, final word is, you can't kill me. You might be able to put me through all this junk, but you can't kill me. And you know, and God brings me through it. I have to walk through it, but God's with me in it. So if you have to go through troubling times, God's walking through with you through it. He knew you were going to go through it. He knows everything about you. Okay, so he said, the student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? All right, if I sit up here and teach you lies, you're going to walk out here believing lies. My job is to teach you the truth. It doesn't matter if you come against me. It doesn't matter how much you talk about me when you leave. I've given you the truth. That's the end of my job. And I'm not to worry about what you're going to say about me. If I was that type of person, I wouldn't be here today, because this Delaware would have killed me a long time ago, because they're vicious. Okay, then, fear God, not people. That's Matthew 10:26. So do not be afraid of them, you know, the people, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. In other words, God's going to be with you. He's going to take care of everything. Jesus said, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he goes on to say, not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you're worth more than many sparrows. And let's just stop there. Do not fear people. I don't care who they are, do not fear that. They're not God. You know, when we first started here, pastor would come in here to prove that I wasn't of God. And they would come in very cocky, sit up there in the front row, you know. And then when the service is all over, but they'd come up crying and say, I came here to prove she's not a woman of God, but I have to say she is a true woman of God. I don't think that pastor wanted to say that about me, because that made him look bad. But the Holy Spirit, if you're called by God, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit will always vindicate you. Are you listening? All right, then don't be ashamed of your faith. In Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Don't be ashamed to tell people that you're a child of God. Amen. Following Jesus may bring you trouble. You know, you really may be, some of you might be, have to rethink what you're doing here this morning. Do you really want to follow God 100%? Do you really want to go out there and be a minister of the gospel or an evangelist or whatever it is? Do you really want that? Following Jesus may bring you trouble. In Matthew 10:34. Jesus says, do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. See that? For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. I'm warning you right now that your biggest enemies will be right in your household. God's told me that many times, and God's told me about the Lighthouse Church. You don't need any enemies outside the Lighthouse Church. You have enough right in here. So not everybody that sits under you are for you. The enemy has his little spies too that he sends into the house of God to try to destroy you. All right. 38 says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Now, you know, God's going to ask you to do things in your walk with him that's really going to be hard. It's really going to be hard. That's your cross. Now, if you're really going to follow God with all of your heart, then you're going to have to say, God, I don't know how I'm going to do. Well, one time I said, God, I just can't do this. He says, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So, you know, don't ever say you can't do it, because God never puts anything on you that you can't do. He does not. So if you're into something that you really can't do, then you pick that thing up yourself. It did not come from God. All right. All right. God will bless those who welcome you. In verse 40, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And verse 42 says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. We've got to be a blessing to everybody that we meet. But see, when you start blessing people, you're going to find out they're going to abuse your blessing. And they're going to walk all over you. And you're going to want to poke them in the nose after a couple of years. But we can't do that. All right? I've tried that and it doesn't work. God will chastise you. All right, Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. We read this before, but we're reading it again right now. Did you hear what he said? Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. All right, now, you know, I've had this ministry 40 years. 30 years were great years of just miracles after miracles after miracles. You know, I raised the dead. You know, I walked by people, they would be healed, you know, all kind of things. I mean, it was just one big miracle for 30 years. And then God said to me, one day you're walking under the curse. And everything switched. Nothing worked out. Absolutely nothing. And when people, you know, you can only take so much insult as a human being. You can only take so much persecution as a human being until finally you fall to your knees and cry, start crying out to God. God, I feel so alone. I feel so used and so abused. But see, Jesus was in that position too, before we were. It's not a bad thing to call out to God like that. Why do you think Jesus went to the mountain all the time? His disciples were a mess. If you read about his disciples, they were a mess. I was complaining about my disciples, and God said, now I want you to go and read about Jesus' disciples. And I said, dear Lord, I'm not going to complain anymore, because these aren't quite as bad as those are. Where, you know, he had to go somewhere for somebody who understood him, and there's only one place to go, and that was to his Father. Are you understanding that? It's all right, guys, to go into a quiet place and sometimes I lay in my bed at night and just cry. Because of things that go on during the day, day after day after day after day. Because nobody understands. And people aren't going to understand you. They're not going to understand your walk with God. And sometimes, as much as you want a little piece of meat, you know, to say it's okay, you're only going to have Jesus to cry out to, who understands. Are you understanding this? All right, Revelation 3:7. Now, you know, God, when we first started, I was in the car one day, and this was in the late 70s, and I said, God, what church are we there? Somebody was teaching about the churches, and he said, the Lighthouse is the Philadelphia church. So let's read about the Philadelphia church in Revelation 3:7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. You know, I've had many pastors come to me and say, how could you sit there and preach to 10 people for all these years? or five or whatever was here at the time. Every time there was a church split, you know, somebody split the church, God would tell me beforehand who was going to do it. He would tell me exactly how many people were going to leave and how many people were going to stay. And, you know, one time he says, you're only going to have five people, but minister to them. And with that five, I kept every service. Sometimes we come here to have two, me and Chris, score before he got married. And I still ministered everything I had. And God started, after I proved myself, he started building the church back up again. We've had more church splits than I've lost count. The devil always sends somebody into your ministry to cause you to fall. I want you to remember that. I don't care what you're into, what you're doing. The enemy doesn't want you to progress. He wants you to fall. All right, he says, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. And many times I've said, God, I just want to close the doors. He says, I don't want you to shut the doors. You're the only one that can shut them, but I don't want them shut. All right? I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. What that means to me, all these people, all these years who have put me down, there's going to come a day and an hour when Delaware is going to have to come and sit and say, you truly were of God. All right? That's part of my promise as a Philadelphia church. I don't care what Satan's putting you through. There's going to come a day when God's going to vindicate you. And everybody's going to see you truly are a child of God. But in the meantime, you can't fall. You can't let down your guard. You can't get into doubt and unbelief. I tell the story about one time I was preaching when I used to walk around all the time, right to her brother Alan sitting, and God spoke to me. He said, daughter, I was preaching. He talks to you too while you're preaching to your daughter. I'm going to remove your lampstand if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief. And I was going through a split then. I quickly got out of doubt and unbelief because he was going to close the church. Are you understanding that? See, it's up to us how we end up. God tells us what he wants us to do, but we have to walk the walk. We have to endure the persecutions. We have to let people go ahead and talk about us and run us down and do all manner of evil to us. That's what he did to Jesus. And if we're going to run around here saying, I'm just like Jesus, are you really? Are you really? I have to ask myself that all the time. I keep myself in check. Am I really just like Jesus? Am I really doing what Jesus did? Are you understanding this? And the verse 10 says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. I wouldn't say I endured patiently. I'm not going to lie there, all right? God, Jesus said, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you hearing what God is saying to you today? You know, I can always tell how many we're going to have in the congregation by the message that God gives. And God only calls those that he wants to hear certain messages. He calls those to the services. I don't get upset if I look here and see all the seats filled, one service, and the next service, maybe only just 5 or 10 filled. I don't get upset with that because I know that the message that God has is only for those people that come into the doors. I want you to always remember that. God only brings those who are able to receive what he's giving. All right? a lot of people that come here, because I was thinking, God, because I know who comes here on a regular basis, they're not going to be able to receive this. But God kept them out. He knows that you guys are strong enough to receive this. Do you know that? Do you know that you're strong enough to do what God's calling you for to do? Do you know that you're not here by accident this morning? I don't care how you planned on being here. God still planted that seed for you to be here. You know, when God asked me to marry my second husband, which I didn't want to do, it took me 6 months to get to that stage. But I said, what's going to happen? He says, so when you announce your, because we had packed house all the time because miracles were happening here. He said, when you announce your engagement, he said, half the people are going to leave. And when you get married, you're only going to have a handful left. But this is an assignment that you must take from me. But it's your choice. And like I said, it took me 6 months to decide, okay, I'll do this to save a soul. Do you hear God like that? Does he really speak every detail to you in your life? I was doing something yesterday and God showed me, he said, there was two people I can't quite trust right now. They're being a little bit deceptive. And I said, isn't that something? I mean, you know, he'll talk to you about anything if you're his friend. And you know how you blab everything to your friend, right? And God wants us to be his friend. And when we become his friend, then he starts talking to us about everything. And, you know, some people, you want to come in, a lot of people come here just because they want a prophetic word. And that's fine because we are a prophetic church. But then they'll say, well, that, I don't believe those words. Well, we tell them, throw it away. If you don't believe it, throw it away. It won't do you any good. That doesn't offend me. It just really doesn't. And it evidently offended you, so it doesn't do you any good. Just throw it away. But I can tell you, a couple years down the road, you're going to remember that's what they spoke to me. Because it's going to come true. But you weren't ready to receive it that day. So I'm telling you this, so if you're prophetic, that not everybody is going to believe everything you say over their lives. Don't get upset about that. You're not in it, you're not in a contest. You're a child of God working for God. When I first came on the scene in 77, they didn't have any prophets. So, of course, I was every night out somewhere ministering in the churches, sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning. And people were just amazed at how they thought I knew what they were all about. I didn't know nothing, but God was speaking through me to them. So that's the way it is. It's not you that knows. If you're a prophet, then you have yielded yourself to God, and it's God speaking through you, telling people about their lives. And God is raising up prophets right now. We're seeing a lot of new prophets coming on the scene. Do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. If somebody calls herself a prophet, watch their fruit. Because not everybody says their prophet is a prophet. Check their fruit. Their fruit will always show you whether or not they're of God.